to work during during the pandemic from March 1st of 2020 to March 31st of 2021.
Okay. Okay. And is that, that bonus comes out of the city coffers, the state coffers, the feds? What?
It's actually federal money. So FairHope got $1.9 million as part of the American Rescue Plan. That's a calculation done by Treasury based on our population and some different factors in our community. But we got $1.9 million. And there are some specific things you can use that money for. You can use it for infrastructure and specific to water, wastewater, and broadband. You can use it to reimburse yourself for any lost revenues from COVID, or you can give employee incentives or employee bonuses.
Okay, that's quite a broad spectrum of things. Broadband, sewer infrastructure,
water and wastewater infrastructure.
Okay, how much of that are y'all using? Are you applying any of that to the current upgrades that are going on?
Absolutely. Not current upgrades that are happening now, but we have some things out for bid. There are two lift stations that we're going to be rehabbing with portions of the money. You get half the money now and half the money next year. So we got just a little over $900,000 this year. $300,000 of that will be used for the employee enhancements that we spoke about earlier. And then the rest of that $500,000 we will use to rehab a couple of our lift stations.
Okay, so that's an extra $300,000 that's going into the local economy.
That's correct.
For people to, you know, shop with, buy food with, et cetera, and go into the pockets of those city workers that stayed on the job rather than draw unemployment last year.
That's right.
So that is a nice way to say thank you to them.
It is,
so.
And we're happy to be able to do that. Anytime you can give a financial reward to me, you know, for me, for your employees, I think that it is something that you absolutely should do. Last year, as most of us know, was difficult at best, not only with the pandemic, but with hurricanes here. So it's nice to be able to have that money to do something for the employees.
Yeah, and with the hurricane, gosh, the guys were out immediately. I mean, the rain was still falling. They were out working.
Right.
So.
Right. And with essential services, obviously we have utilities, you know, the police department, sanitation. I mean, those are services that you cannot stop during a pandemic or after a hurricane. So, you know, obviously this money is not for Hurricane Sally or Zeta, but being able to reward them for their work during the pandemic is something that we were glad we were able to do.
Oh, yeah. Well, as they say, sometimes you use the carrot and sometimes you use the stick. It's nice to be able to have a carrot
on
hand for
them. That's right.
And on that same line, there's also incentives for getting the vaccine?
There are. So employees will immediately or in the next several weeks will get the first $500 incentive or bonus pay. They call it premium pay. They have a name for everything, so it's really not a bonus. It's premium pay.
Premium pay.
That's right.
Okay.
So they will get that initial $500. And then any employee who has been vaccinated in September, October, or November, there will be certain dates set up there where they can get their additional $500, additional $250, or additional $125 based on if they're full-time, part-time, or seasonal.
Okay.
So for the next, the cutoff deadline's November 30th. We really want employees to be vaccinated by then. We feel like, you know, FDA approval of the Pfizer vaccine hopefully will happen in the next 2 weeks, according to all the news reports we've seen. So we feel like people who have been hesitant because it is an experimental vaccine will look to the FDA for that approval and will want to get the vaccine, you know, after it is approved. So we're giving them some time to do that.
Okay. Okay.
So one thing, you know, we talked about earlier, I guess, before we got on air, we talked about, you know, how this has impacted the city. I mean, one thing, again, you know, the city has to provide those essential services for public health and safety. And we have currently we've had more than 30 employees in the past month who have been out with either a COVID positive test or they have been exposed to COVID.
Wow. 30 employees.
30 employees.
Out of how many?
We have 350 part-time, full time employees.
So roughly 10%. Have been out.
Yeah, and again, the reason that's impactful is because most of our departments, you know, utilities or sanitation, there's 20, 25 employees in those departments. When you start taking out 4 and 5 people in each of those departments, because we've seen it concentrated in specific areas, then it's hard to provide those services.
Oh, sure.
On top of the growth we're already experiencing and all the projects we have going on here in Fairhope, I mean, it really has those departments stressed.
Well, sure. You think about, okay, well, 30 people working for the city might have it, but there's 300 people. That's no big deal. But if you've got 10 people in the water shop and 8 of them have COVID, that means that there's 2 people left to do the work of 10. And now you've got not just a problem, but a big problem.
That's correct. And it's similar to even like in sanitation. I mean, we've all seen the news reports where in Pritchard they weren't able to pick up garbage because, you know, a lot of their sanitation workers were out. I mean, we had to pull employees from different departments to help sanitation, and then those departments lag behind. So it's just a vicious cycle. And again, there are rules and regulations with the city where you have to have certified wastewater treatment plant operators, or you have to have dispatch. And in those smaller departments, when you start taking out those employees that are truly, truly essential, it really can, you know, impact the services that you provide.
Yeah, and some of these jobs are not just generic jobs, but they're very specialized jobs, like wastewater treatment. If you don't know what you're doing, you can really hurt yourself.
Well,
so,
yeah, and legally, we have to have those certified operators there, or we have to have people who are trained in dispatch, or even sanitation employees. Mm-hmm. I mean, not everybody can just jump on the back of a garbage truck and know what to do from a safety standpoint.
Right.
So, you know, it's critical that we make sure we keep our employees healthy and safe, and also the general public that come in contact with our employees. So one way of us doing that, we really wanted to be able to offer this incentive for vaccines, because we know that it's been proven that vaccinated employees are not as sick, they're not out as long, and typically they're not hospitalized. And, you know, we do get updates from the hospitals periodically on what's going on there with COVID. Thomas Hospital is, you know, is very full right now of COVID patients. Their ICU is full. They're holding people in the ER. This is not just at Thomas, but around the county where these hospitals are just really stretched to their limits. And, you know, but Thomas has stated that 92% of their inpatients with COVID have not been vaccinated. So, okay. Again, that tells us that vaccination really does work. And of all the employees that we have had positive, only two of those employees had been vaccinated.
Okay.
So we really hope this incentive will encourage people to get the vaccine and to keep themselves, their families healthy, and to also, again, to protect the general public that we might come in contact with.
Okay. So there are folks that are saying that, you know, if you get the vaccine, it's no guarantee of getting it again.
Correct.
But as you're on the statistics here with the city, you've got 30 with it, and only two of them that had the vaccine have got it. The rest were unvaccinated.
That's correct.
So it looks like the odds of you catching it again, you might still get it, but the odds go down substantially.
Right.
It would appear, just
right,
based on that evidence,
and
unlike that small slice.
Right, and the two employees that we've had hospitalized because of COVID were not vaccinated.
We're not vaccinated.
And one has been in there. They're today, I believe, will be the 15th or 16th day.
Oh, good
They've
Lord.
Been in the hospital. So, and really serious complications from it. So, again, you know, the health and safety of our employees is always a priority for myself and the city council, and we feel like this is one thing that we can do to protect them. Obviously, they still have a choice. We're not mandating the vaccine. We're not, you know, mandating anything. They have a choice whether they want to do it or not, but we would love for them to consider getting the vaccine.
Okay. And, again, incentive, it has been incentivized now, at least, to get that. So.
It has. The other thing that I'll remind people, you know, when we talk about cost, I know there was some people who spoke at the city council meeting about, you know, the federal government just doling out this money and what it's doing to the, you know, to the debt of our country. And I absolutely agree. I mean,
oh, sure.
I'm not one that likes to see that the government's just handing out money either. But thankfully, we can use this to incentivize vaccines and hopefully help our employees stay healthy. But, you know, regardless, it's still costing the city money. We have a self-insured insurance plan, the city does, for our employees. So if they're in the hospital, if they have to go to the doctor, the testing over the past several years that we've had to do, even the vaccines, which we, you know, don't have a problem if they're going to be a charge for those to pay for them, but the testing, going to the doctors, telemedicine, you know, being in the hospital, all that's impacting the city's bottom line because we are self-insured. So people who are concerned that we're using this federal money to give these incentives, I mean, there's financial implications as well with this pandemic.
Yeah, and I would say just my own take on that is, you know what, they're giving that money to everybody. They're going to give it to somebody. They may as well give it to us. You know, we may as well get our slice of the pie since everybody's going to be eating it. So
right. And other neighboring communities, I know Daphne gave a bonus to their employees. They did not attach it to vaccines. They did not incentivize vaccines. Mobile did. And again, as our employees hear that from other communities, you know, they look to us and say, did you get any money from the American Rescue Plan? Can you pass them along? And we didn't get as much as either one of those communities, but we did get $1.9 million, and being able to, you know, do this for our employees was important to us.
Okay. Okay. And again, that helps put groceries on the table right here in Fairhope.
It does.
So, you know.
It does.
Like I said, an extra what, $300,000 into the local coffers. So
that's right.
Hard to argue with that.
That's right.
Now, I understand that the CDC is in town, or there's a rumor going around that people have been talking about. Do you have any information on that?
I have heard that rumor as well, but I have not heard any factual information about that. From
okay.
what I understand right
so
now, it's just a rumor.
Okay, they so they've not approached you or
they
the
have
city?
Not.
Okay. Okay.
So if I find out otherwise, I'll let you know, but I have not heard that.
Okay. Well, all right. You know, that's just how people talk around town.
Right.
It goes out on social media,
right.
and all of a sudden you're supposed to know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
I do think probably between Mobile and Baldwin County, I know Mobile County has seen, I think, the most deaths from COVID from what I've read, so in the state currently. So I think that probably if the CDC was going to be somewhere, that it would make sense that they are here. But I have not had confirmation of that.
Okay. Well, switching gears just a little bit, we got road construction. We've got road construction, you know, right down the street from us here. Any idea when it's going to be moving, when they're going to be finished with a section on Church Street and then moving up to the next section?
I do think that they will be moving within the next month.
Okay.
I would say
because they've been working on it
by the end of September, I think you'll see them at least move across.
Okay.
Mid-September to the next block and start that. And then obviously, you know, it's coming up on our busy season. The holidays will be coming up, so we have a lot of things that happen in downtown during the holidays.
Yeah, we've got parades and Mardi Gras to come up with. So
we do. We're working really closely with the contractor, making sure they have those dates, making sure they know that, you know, these events are important to us as we move forward, and that they're going to have things, you know, where traffic can flow on the street. So we are staying in constant communication with them. But I just really want to thank our residents. I mean, especially those on Church Street. They've had to put up with a lot in the past several months dealing with that project. These are things that are going to be, you know, better for Fairhope in the future, but those residents really have been impacted, and I just really appreciate their patience and how gracious they've been and understand the need for this infrastructure upgrade. But you know, it's always difficult when you're inconvenienced, and again, they have been very patient with us, so I really appreciate that.
Yeah, certainly. It's going to be bad enough for me here, having to work here, but I can't imagine having to drive out, you know, that being my driveway
That's
for
right.
6 months. That would be unpleasant.
And the other construction project I just want to mention, because it is going to be impactful to school traffic, which starts tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So we're so excited for everybody to get back to school, get back in a routine, and but we know that brings traffic congestion in the mornings. There at Twin Beach, they're putting in some turn lanes on Twin Beach right there by Pirate Drive by the high school. So again, for the next several weeks, I would ask people to be patient. There's going to be one entry into the school. There'll be that's going to be from 98. You're not going to be able to enter on Pirate Drive. We had a delay in that project because there was some utility infrastructure that had to be relocated, so it pushed us back just a little bit. But we are hopeful in the next couple of weeks that we'll have everything open. So if they can bear with us for about 10 days during school, then we will hopefully get that road open and back on schedule.
Okay, Kennedy, if nothing else, can they get it so that Pirate Drive at least exits either east or west,
right.
one way or
right.
the other.
Right, and that's our hope. We had hoped that we would have it before school started, but again, with having to relocate some of those utilities, it just slowed the project down a little bit. So, again, be patient. Watch for those police officers. Watch for all the kids driving or walking to school, and you know, be patient and slow down.
Okay, and watch for those. School zone,
absolutely.
Flashing signs, particularly out on 98. You know, those of us that have lived here for a few
right.
years, you know, there didn't used to be a slowdown yeah. zone right
no.
there on 98.
Right
all
there
of a sudden,
by Bayshore Christian.
Right, by Bayshore Christian. All of a sudden, you know, you're doing 45 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour, depending on which part it is, and all of a sudden you've got to slow down to 25. My first time through, I was like, what are these idiots doing? You know, and school's
right.
Oh,
yes.
Oh.
School's in session.
Yeah.
So, yeah, And, you know, the first day of school always presents challenges for everybody. But, again, our police department does a great job. But I would just remind people to have patience and to, you know, slow down in the school zones. Know that you're going to be delayed because traffic's going to be increased. You know, the first week everybody wants to take their kid to school. Nobody's riding school buses. Mm-hmm. So just be patient and slow down in those school zones.
Yes, and just as a reminder, the maximum speed that you can pass a school bus when it has the stop sign out is zero. You cannot pass a school bus with its stop sign.
Even on a four lane. That's right.
Yeah, I've seen people that said, well, I was only doing 10 miles an hour. No, you cannot pass one.
You cannot pass one. That's exactly correct. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think people just need to find their patience. I keep saying that, but it seems like we are in a world of hurry up. And so people just need to slow down a little bit, take their foot off the pedal, take a deep breath.
Yeah, well, that's easier said than done.
I know.
Sometimes.
But that's what Fair Hope's all about, right?
Yeah. I heard a preacher say once, you can judge your Christianity by how you are behind the wheel of a car. So
I might be in trouble.
Yeah, me too. I think it was preaching at me when he said that.
So. I might be in trouble.
Okay. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to bring up? We talked about COVID. We talked about the school zones. We talked about the public works, how they're going.
Talking about back to school, I did want to mention something. You know, we're really excited about the improvements that we're making at the high school football stadium there at Vilana. We are doing an ADA project right now on the home side to allow more ADA accessibility. So people are going to see a new brick facade to that area. They're going to see some new ramps. We have a Jumbotron that is getting installed. We're really excited about that.
Okay, will the Jumbotron be installed by the start of the season?
We're hoping so. It's supposed to start next week. So
fingers crossed.
That's right. So everything, you know, is down to the wire. But we've done some renovations on the press box and just really cleaning up at the stadium. So really excited to, you know, kick off football season this year and hope things continue to stay on track and that things are somewhat back to normal in the stands and you're able to go out there and cheer on the Pirates and spend time with your friends and family.
Okay, yeah, I heard a couple of people that were critical of the Jumbotron and the money that was spent on it. I'll share my thoughts with that.
Sure.
And then you can share yours. My thoughts were that, you know what, that area produces a lot of revenue.
It does. For the school in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so that's part of the way to recover that back. And secondly, as somebody that's been in high school sports for the better part of my career, those kids are worth it. You know, they get to be up on the Jumbotron. Mom and Dad gets to watch them on there. They're the ones generating all this income because if they weren't out there playing football, we wouldn't be sitting there watching them. So they think it's cool to be up there on it. Let's do it for them because they're the one that's actually generating the revenue for that. So that's a way of paying them back. That's just my thoughts,
well,
but I'll go ahead and let you.
And I would say, you know, it's not just about football or soccer that's played out the stadium. I mean, this Jumbotron we'll be able to use for graduation.
Mm-hmm.
We can actually show movies on it, so you could do movies at the stadium. It's a great avenue for the high school to be able to highlight their sponsors, to roll that on there or do little commercials for their sponsors. So there's a lot of benefits to having the Jumbotron. You know, but the other part of it is Coach Tim Carter really did most of the work for that Jumbotron.
Okay.
He raised sponsorship money, the school committed some money, and the city contributed. But the majority of that money is coming from sponsorships or from the school.
Okay.
And it's over a three-year window. So the city fronted the money, and then we're being reimbursed by the school and, of course, with those sponsorships. So really the city's contribution, there is some in-kind work the city employees are going to do, but really our contribution was $50,000. So that is not a lot that we had to contribute considering what we're getting. And we're able to repurpose the existing scoreboard and move it to hopefully our youth football fields. That's what we're working on now to move that down there. We have to upgrade our electrical at the Barnwell facility to be able to move that down there. So there are some benefits to it, and I think people are really going to take a lot of pride in it when they see it. They're just going to be really excited.
Oh, I think so too.
Yes.
I think so too, and especially If you go to some of the other stadiums that already have those.
That's right.
And they look really cool, and it is kind of intimidating to go into some of those stadiums. You know, it just, oh, wow, these people are serious about this. So
it is. Yeah. And, you know, Fairhope's always led the charge when it came to recreation facilities or whatever it might be. You know, and Spanish Fort and Daphne both have Jumbotrons. This is going to be even bigger than better than those because, you know, we want to get back to Fairhope being having the best and being the best.
Having the best and being the best.
That's right. Okay. So I'm really excited about it. And again, I think people are going to be really excited when they see it and are going to appreciate everything that we're able to do with it, from graduation to showing movies to the athletic events. And again, in highlighting those sponsors who continue to support our school athletics.
Okay, yeah. That would be showing the movies, kind of like you do with the movies in the park kind of thing.
Correct. But okay, we could do one, maybe it's a sports themed, you know, we do some sports themed movies at the park or whatever it might be.
Okay. Yep. All right. Anything else? What else you got?
I think going through my council agenda just to see what else that I needed to okay. mention here. But for the most part, a lot of the discussion last night was about the vaccinations and about the and about the employee incentive. But let's see what else was on here that people might be interested in hearing about. One thing that I will mention is that folks are going to start seeing some dredging there at the Fairhope docks.
Okay.
Black Creek has already been the Yacht Club has already been doing some dredging on their side of Fly Creek or the base. So and now we are going to be doing we're going to be doing some dredging there near the Fly Creek Marina and at the Fairhope docks. So when people see a dredge out there, they'll know what's going on.
Okay, I did see a photo of some sludge being mm-hmm. pumped out, and I thought, gosh, what is going on there? That looks terrible. Is that sewer spill going out there, or what is that?
It's sand.
But that's sand.
It
okay.
is, and once it sits out for a little bit, it really bleaches out nicely. So okay. It comes out black and brown
yeah,
and dirty.
It comes out looking horrible.
Bleaches out really nicely.
Out. Okay.
So that's going to be happening, and then we also did get some insurance money to redo those bulkheads and those finger piers and the bulkhead there at Fairhope Docks from the damage during Sally.
Okay.
So excited to be able to do those repairs with money from our insurance company
okay.
from FEMA.
Any idea? Let's see, I haven't been there in the last 2 weeks, but 2 weeks ago there were still boats in the harbor that were sunk,
yes,
basically.
They
so,
were.
What's the word on those?
I think there's only one or two left to come out. They've been working on them piece by piece. The contractor, Mr. Gambino, actually has the lease on the marina, and
okay.
he hired the contractor to remove those. He has the lease with the boat owners, so that's his responsibility.
So that's a private. Private industry that has to do that, not the city.
Correct. So Mr. Gambino did hire somebody to do that. They weren't able to get a large barge, so they have a smaller barge. So they're dismantling those boats and taking them out piece by piece. We all know that it's hard to get equipment right now. There's a lot of bulkhead repair and everything else going on. So all they were able to get is a small barge. So that's why they're having to dismantle those piece by piece. But again, I think there's only maybe one or two. I haven't been down this morning, but I think Friday there was three and they were removing more. So hopefully those will be cleared out here pretty quickly.
Okay.
Excited to have that done since we're almost a year since Sally hit. And actually most of our damage to the pier and the marina were done with Zeta.
Through Zeta, yeah.
Through
Zeta.
Was
bad.
And the other thing, Mark, that I was going to mention that people might find exciting is that we did vote last night to procure 5 charging stations for electric vehicles.
Okay.
And some of those will be placed near City Hall there in the Civic Center parking lot, and then a couple will go here in the parking deck just behind us.
Okay.
So really excited to be able to do that. That's a partnership that we have with AMEA, the Alabama Municipal Electric Association,
okay,
who we buy our power from. We're one of 11 member cities, and we buy power through them. So that is reimbursable through them, but it's about a $55,000 expenditure, and happy to be able to have those charging stations here in downtown.
Okay, so that's for anyone to use?
They will be for anyone to use. You can use them with golf carts or, again, just electric vehicles. But
if you've got a Tesla or something?
You can.
Or, okay.
Mm-hmm. They're going to be a universal charging port. But the meter, the structure itself is by charge point. So if you wanted to use them, you do have to swipe a credit card or a debit card in order to, because the power is metered. So you
okay.
will have to pay for that.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, but there will be stations over here. Where is that infrastructure? And I've got a friend of mine that bought a Tesla a used Tesla mm-hmm. year before last, mm-hmm. but he has to drive over to Mobile.
That's right.
To charge it up. So there will be a charging station over here downtown.
There will be.
Okay.
And Daphne has put some in. I know Foley has some. So there are several here around Baldwin County. But again, we really excited to have the ones here at the in downtown Fairhope. People can charge while they shop.
Okay, yeah, and right down here while you're getting your,
that's
your
right.
car charged up, be sure and stop in at our fine stores and businesses.
There we go. Okay. Have lunch, visit a restaurant, have dinner. That's
there
right.
There you go. Okay.
That's right.
I see how you're working. Okay.
That's right. So, that's just a great project. Glad to see that moving forward. And the charging stations at City Hall, we're actually going to have a solar canopy, so we can actually use some solar power, too, to help with that. But we'll also have an electric set up there, too, the traditional power, if we need be. But we are also going to have some solar panels, so that's going to be a great project.
Okay. Do we have any word on the alley, the work that's being done on the alley? Mm-hmm.
The alley project rebid. So that was one thing that we had to do. We only got one bid on that project, and because it is being paid for with federal transit funds, they did not like the idea that we had only one bid. So we have put that back out for bid, and we're hopeful that that will close by the end of this month, and we'll be able to award that the first meeting in September.
Okay, you only had one bid for it, so because nobody else wanted to work on it, that
we did. Unfortunately, it's just the. Where we are right now. I mean, there's just not a lot of people bidding on projects. And, some of it is the time constraints we as government put on things and, mm-hmm. and the paperwork involved. Some of these companies just have more work than they can say grace over.
Sure.
And so they are not bidding on projects. But we're really trying to do our due diligence and make sure we're reaching out to people, letting them know the bids are there. We, of course, have a list that we send to, but really trying to encourage people to bid on these projects so we make sure we get more than one bid.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you, Ms. Mayor. Was there anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Thank
we
you.
Covered a lot. So
we did.
I appreciate your time and
thank
coming
you.
In for everything.
Thank
so
you.
That is Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan. I appreciate everything you do for us and everything you do for our city employees. And don't forget, the City of Fairhope is hiring. So we've got openings there, too. Be sure and check out their website at cityoffairhope.com. 928-9228. That's the swap shop number, and that'll be coming on in about 10 minutes. You're listening to 1480 WABF.